Well, the future of driverless cars will be on the agenda at a series of conferences which are starting around the country this week. Some predict that many of us will be in driverless cars just 5 years from now. So rather than owning them, we'll be paying for driverless ride-sharing services. Imogen Brennan spoke to the Managing Director of the Australian Road Research Board, Gerald Waldron, about what this could mean for our roads.
Look, I think you'll start to see cars without steering wheels in some limited applications within the decade. But in the meantime, there's going to be quite a large number of mainstream cars available to us that will have various levels of driver support, which will allow drivers to operate hands-free and not be engaged in the driving task for at least part of a journey.
Why do we need driverless cars? What's good about them?
Well, look, one of the major issues that we have is that it's human to make mistakes, and about 90% of the death and injury on our roads, which, by the way, costs the community $27 billion a year, but 90% of that is the result of human error. Driverless vehicles are going to be much less involved in crashes, deaths and injuries than human-driven cars.
How do you know that, though? What makes you say that?
Well, firstly, they're much more vigilant than us. I mean, we're seeing a huge rise in distracted driving. I'm sure that we've all driven down the road and seen people in adjacent vehicles looking at their phone instead of watching where they're going and those sorts of things. And so a driverless vehicle has sensors all the way around it. It's got a 360-degree view. It's measuring the rate at which it's closing on the vehicle in front and how quickly somebody's merging with it and all those sorts of things. It's paying attention to all of those things right around it all the time.
You mentioned before that we'll have some cars without steering wheels before the end of this decade. Does that mean that the cars are completely driverless, or are there still aspects of the car that need to be controlled by a human?
The only part that you should be controlling as a human once you get to that stage is telling it where you want it to take you and presumably paying for the privilege. So you and I probably won't own a car into the future. We will instead basically buy a ride, and once the car is driverless, the actual cost of providing that ride is a lot less than if it was a taxi or even a current sort of Uber. Would you bother to own a car with all of the standing costs and the capital tied up in it when you can get a ride anywhere you want at a modest price? You'd look at the advantages that driverless vehicles provide to the community, and you know, you can start off with the major economic advantages of not having to tie money up in a car and all those sorts of things, through to the reduction in death and injury and all the misery associated with that, the congestion benefits and the emissions and environmental benefits of electric vehicles. You start packaging all of that together, but most of all, you know, coming to the sort of selfish point of view of, I can do something better with my time than sit behind the wheel here paying attention to the traffic shuffling forward.
But surely there's got to be some disadvantages there as well.
Car manufacturers have probably got the most difficult disruption, and if we all end up using a rideshare rather than buying a car, I'm predicting that there'll be only about one third the number of cars on Australia's roads as we have now. And so if you were a manufacturer of cars, you know, once the changeover is effected, how many cars a year do we need then?
An interesting glimpse into the future. The Australian Road Research Board's Gerard Waldron speaking to Imogen Brennan.